From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. With our guest from the NPR fashion series, The Seams, Jackie Lydon, will explore seminal Indian patchwork. Creating this colorful clothing is a technique that has been passed down from generation to generation and has become an important means of income. Designs used on women's skirts today can be extremely intricate. We'll meet several women who make, teach, wear, and show seminal patchwork. And former newspaperman and Tampa-based author Tim Dorsey is out with his 19th book about Florida serial killer and anti-hero Serge Storms. He's on tour in Southwest Florida starting this weekend. We'll talk with Tim Dorsey about his books, which are also being made into a TV series. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. Imagine a Florida where the crazy happenings you read about in a novel come to life. Actually, Tampa author Tim Dorsey takes the crazy things that happen in real Florida and writes about them in his novels. He's on his 19th, and it hits Southwest Florida bookstores this weekend on tour. He hits Southwest Florida bookstores on tour. After growing up just north of Miami, working as the Tampa Tribune's Night Metro editor, and now going on book tours around the state for the past 18 years, Dorsey has plenty of stories to tell. Real ones. Real crazy ones. And his anti-hero, encyclopedic Florida file, lovable serial killer Serge Storms will soon come to life on your TV screen. Sonar Entertainment has optioned the rights to the novels. The series will be called Florida Roadkill After the First. Tim Dorsey joins us from his book tour by phone. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, Tim.
Hey, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. And you're on the road between bookstores.
You can speak to Tim Dorsey by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. So, Tim, did you have any idea back in 1999 when you wrote your first novel, Florida Roadkill, that writing fiction would be prolific enough for you to stop working in journalism?
Well, I gave it a shot right away because I had to go out on a book tour, but I didn't know. No, I didn't know if it would last. I was just going to give it a stab, and it's hard to imagine so many years have passed. It was 1999 when I was first in your studio on that. I just had that one book out, and I think I was probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from when I had left the newspaper at that point in time.
That's correct. So now your books are fiction. However, much of what you put in them is not. Do you still pull from your newspaper background for fodder?
Oh, all the time. And I just have to, you know, look at current events. You know, when I'm outside of the state doing, like, the national tour, people will say, well, you're going to have to move your books out of Florida if you know, you're going to run out of material. And I'm like, are you kidding?
I mean,
it's snowballing. It's getting weirder and weirder. It's like every day there's a new strange story that, you know, like the guy that threw the alligator through the Wendy's drive-thru window. I mean, I woke up, I looked on Facebook, and a whole bunch of readers had tagged it to my page.
I'm not surprised. Actually, I was going to ask you about that later. Don't have to now.
I know, it's nuts.
In your newest book, Coconut Cowboy, there are a number of things I know really happened in Florida over the past few years. So there's a sinkhole that in real life actually swallowed part of a home and killed a man. That's in your book.
Yeah. There's plenty of sinkholes around, so I figured, well, I need a geologist in this next book, so there you go.
There is a small town that annexed more land so it could add a speed trap. That really happened?
Yes.
Did I miss a Florida town that was illegally pumping water out of the aquifer to pretend it had a spring that was only a sinkhole?
Well, there have been management issues. That was something that's just kind of generally happened. That wasn't a big scandal, but it is something that they have to watch environmentally.
Okay.
Because if you do overpump, it'll disturb it will create sinkholes.
There is Rachel's Law in memory of an FSU student who was murdered while acting as a police informant. That's in the book.
Yeah. Yes. And they have something way out in the middle of nowhere called the Purple Hatters Ball, in her memory, but it's a fascinating phenomenon seeing all of these flower children flock to this area in North Florida. It's very rural, but that happens every year.
That's real?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I thought
you didn't realize
no,
that part was real.
I thought you made that up to go with the real Rachel's Law.
No,
I should never put anything past you. Okay, so that's real. And there are other things in the book that, knowing how you write about historical fiction, I also wondered whether there was any truth to these things, such as, did Florida's panhandle once stretch all the way to Mississippi?
Yeah, and there was a Republic of Florida that was a little separate nation within the United States that lasted about 90 days, but it had a legislature and a constitution and had a president and a flag and so where Serge is standing in Louisiana, where he plants that flag, that really was Florida at one time, and as well a separate nation.
Because I know that the Keys once tried to secede, but I had no idea about the Mississippi thing, or Louisiana thing.
Yeah, the Louisiana thing actually was real, and to this day, there's a Republic of West Florida High there, as well as there are seven parishes. They have parishes, the counties, but there are seven parishes that are called the Florida parishes, and there are historic markers to this day denoting that. So, yeah, all that was true.
What about the world's largest human-engineered bat colony?
True. I've been there. I've watched. I took my daughter there, and we waited till sunset, and we watched them all just after sunset. Hundreds of thousands of bats come flying out and head over to the lake for dinner time with the insects.
So what is your writing technique? Do you just have like this long pad or document that you write down, I need to put this in the next book and this in the next book?
Yeah, what I have is I have these files in my computer, and they're grouped, facts, locations, this and that. And, I have so much that it's a matter of what the theme of the book is going to be and if it'll fit. And then I look as well, a lot of the books are road trips, and so I look at how the path, across the state of Florida and down the peninsula is going to go, and then I'll look and see what I have in my notes that pertains to that geography, and I like to drop that stuff in because it's fascinating to me. It's a very interesting state.
Our guest is Tampa author and former journalist and editor on the Night Beat at the Tampa Tribune, Tim Dorsey. His Serge Storm books are about to become a TV series. Our phone number is 1-877-GCU-TALK. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. One of your characters asks in your latest book, Coconut Cowboy, what's up with your state? It's like a twilight zone of insane phenomena. So is that your analysis of what makes the gist of your books?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a state that's unlike any other, and I think a lot of it has to do with the. I think we're probably one of the most transient states. I think that various neighborhoods and communities, they're very fluid. They're very dynamic. Not a lot of roots. Not a lot of. They're not very static at all, and gosh, like I say, you just have to turn on the local news. Sometimes you turn on CNN and it looks like the local news because all the strange stories are out of Florida.
And therefore, I mean, this happens every time hurricane season comes around and the emergency operations people remind us that most of the residents haven't been through an actual storm. At least that was definitely the case before 2004. Most people have no idea that what they're reading in your books is real stuff.
I get a lot of that outside. Like I said, outside of the state, I get credit for having too good of an imagination, and I'll have to tell them no. You got to live down there because you just turn on the news, and I just get out a it's like golden streets. Randy Wainwright calls it a target-rich environment for writers. And I don't think if you're a writer, you could in your geographically based for your novels, you couldn't pick a better place to live to write in. So it's almost like stealing.
Do you follow Florida Man on Twitter?
I've seen people, I've seen that. People have talked to me about it, and it's just hilarious. And I've actually just done it myself. Instead of looking at the Twitter feed, I'll just Google Florida Man, and all these headlines will pop up. Florida Man does this, Florida Man does that. And it's one of those, it's one of those urban fads, like 6 degrees of separation, whatever, or the Kevin Bacon game. But it's natural that we would have the world's most dysfunctional superhero, Florida Man.
Now, who approached whom about the TV series?
Well, that was a thing that we've had the rights out there. They've been optioned probably a total of maybe 12 years. And they've been trying to develop something. They were actually working on a movie, and Danny Davids and Neil Canton were executive producers that had the rights, and they were trying to work on something, and they were having various meetings and approaching people, and then they got a call back because I guess the proposal portfolio was floating around offices in Hollywood. And they got a call back from Sonar Entertainment, who said, we see this as a TV show and we want to make it. And so they did a deal with Sonar, and then now they're going forward. And they just finished writing the pilot, and they're just moving forward from there.
Who are the back-end?
Go ahead. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was just out of the blue. They were working on something else, and then I got a call from Danny, and he says, we just got approached, and we're gonna switch gears, and we're gonna turn it over to them for a TV series.
So, who are the back end people involved? Any big names?
I'm sorry,
the producer type people involved, big names.
Neil Canton, he was an executive producer on all three of the Back to the Future movies, and then Sonar, the TV producers, they just started airing on MTV the Shannara Chronicles, which is a big epic show. I wasn't that familiar with it, but my daughters are really into it, and I watched it. It's an amazing production. So they just started airing that, and I'm in good hands. These are some heavy hitters. So I just hope nothing derails it. That's all.
Of course. Will they plan to film it in Florida?
That I don't know. I mean, I'm basically intentionally trying to stay as far out of the way and not not bug them. Just let them do their thing, and I get updates from time to time. I mean, I literally, as I was pulling into the parking lot of the bookstore last night, I got a phone call from Mr. Davids and giving me the latest of where it was progressing. So otherwise I'd get overexcited. I just got to put it out of my mind, or I'd be thinking about it way too much.
Do we have any idea who will be playing Serge Storms or his sidekick Coleman?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's readers are always throwing out casting ideas even before this came out, and they're always at book signings or on social media, they're always speculating, and it runs the whole spectrum, which is that's what's fascinating to me. Is you write a book and it has all these subjective connections to individual readers that are very different, and so anyway. They've speculated, but from where I am right now, I haven't heard any names at this point. I think they're really working on the script and getting a director to be with it. So that's where they are.
Is there a role that you will be able to serve at all with the TV series?
It's in the contract. I'm a consultant, and even better, I'm a paid consultant. So I'm not sure what that means. It might be that they might be asking me about Florida accuracy for certain things or whatever. But and then I asked, of course, this is very informal, but I said, I don't even want a cameo. I just want to be an extra. I just want to be sitting there with one of my trademark loud tropical shirts, just sitting on a bus bench or something, you know, when you know, the action goes by. But that's the only input I want. It's just to have one of those Hitchcock-type things.
Do you know what stage it's in, when we might expect to see it on the little screen?
It's moving pretty fast. So I don't, you know, that's one thing I keep asking. I mean, I think we'll probably know a lot more about the whole time frame and what's happening with the project probably around the middle of the year, probably around, you know, the end of June or so.
You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Tim, do you have any fear that the tourism bureaus will come down on you, or is all publicity good publicity?
I think everybody learned from Miami Vice that it's all good. Like when Miami Vice was in production, a lot of the Chamber of Commerce people were, if you remember, they were really like kind of concerned and up in arms, and they were trying to get it to be called Gold Coast instead of having Vice in the title. And they really were on edge about the whole thing, and some people were fighting it. And then look what happened. It reinvented South Beach, because it made Miami chic again, and it actually saved a lot of the Art Deco. It spurred the whole Art Deco, you know, preservation movement down there. So there is no such thing as bad publicity when it comes to stuff like this.
Although, do you think the writers will choose to leave certain things out, such as when they get to, in Coconut Cowboy, the part about the rival neighborhood watch groups?
I don't know. Yeah, we have rival neighborhood watch groups, which that hasn't happened yet, but I can see it. I don't know what they're going to put in. I don't know what they're going to leave out. I'll probably be reading, you know, the pilot down the road here a little ways, but this is a totally new rodeo for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all new. It's my first time through. It's like the new residents having their first hurricane. So, you know, I'll learn as I go.
Is novel number 20 on its way?
It is. As a matter of fact, I just mailed it to my agent just before I left home for the book tour for this one. So that'll be coming out the same time next year.
What's one piece of Florida news that ends up in number 20?
Well, the next book, it actually surrounds the Florida lottery and in a lot of aspects of it. And I remember there were a lot of stories about the lottery when I was a newspaper reporter that I was able to use in there. And I was able to try to explain the various lottery scams and using lottery tickets to launder money, which is actually happens. And so that's a big piece of Florida reality that'll be in the next book.
What does it mean to you to have won the John D. McDonald Award for Excellence in Florida Fiction?
That one is, I'm usually not at a loss for words, but I was pretty humbled by that, because that's, you know, the John D. McDonald Award, that was obviously named after pretty much the godfather of Florida, you know, novel or crime novel, and the people who have won it, the first, like, seven people who have won it, seven authors, including Elmore Leonard and Carl Hyacin and Charles Williford. So it's, it was... Well, I was just surprised and really, really thrilled to get that. They gave it to me down in Sarasota at the Selby Library at the end of January.
And finally, I have a couple of other headlines pulled from recent Florida newspapers, which could become surge storm stories. You already mentioned the man accused of tossing an alligator in a Wendy's drive-thru window. That was on February 9th. What about these? February 3rd, unknown what killed woman found dead with live monkeys. And February 2nd, police, Florida man upset backpack not searched, says he has bomb.
the one with the monkey. If I could have picked either one early on, but if you look on my Facebook page, there's probably about five or six posts of readers that tagged the monkey story to my page.
You were written all over it.
Both are going in, as well as the burglar that was eaten by an alligator. I don't know. There may be too many alligators. so I may have to weed through that. But I used to have to go through and do searches, you know, for Florida News Roundup at the end of the year. But now I literally just scroll down through the last year of my Facebook page because they're all there. Literally. Everything that happens, the readers are so kind to do the legwork for me.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Well, I appreciate it, Amy.
Tim Dorsey is the New York Times bestselling author of 19 books, which are being turned into a TV series. He lives in Tampa and is on tour for the latest in the series called Coconut Cowboy. Dorsey will be in Southwest Florida starting this weekend. Information on his visits to local bookstores is at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. For Richard Chinqui and John Davis, I'm Amy Tardif. Have a great afternoon.